Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? Hey, welcome to the MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the legend, Don Fry, waiting for Sean McCorkle to show up. How are you, man? All right, we're already up to a great start. Don, where is your Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
Last time you were in the garage and you got pretty good Wi-Fi in the garage. Is there any possible way you can go to the garage? Hello? Why am I doing this? This is just, I was so excited for the show. We have so much to talk about between the Will Smith, the Colby Covington, the fights, McGregor, Chael Sonnen, Masvidal, Albie Shore won. I had the fights last week, the Curtis Blaydes, all this shit to talk about. But I can't hear you.
I can't hear me.
Yeah, right. That's a little better. How are you, man? How was your weekend?
It was uneventful, you know. Really uneventful. I did not watch.
All right, you didn't watch the fight. Did you watch the Oscars with Will Smith?
Hell no. Hell no. But here, that's the best punch of the week, right?
Well, yeah. So basically, I'll explain what happened. So Chris Rock was hosting the Oscars, and he made a simple joke about, you know, Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz, you know, basically you don't want your husband to, like, you better make sure that the husband's not, if she loses, he doesn't want to win because, yeah, the husband can't win without, you know, that kind of a joke, right? He goes, he better hope right. Will Smith wins, right? Because Will Smith was also nominated. And then Jada Smith was next to it. And he said something about, oh, Jada's here. Hey, don't worry. You know, G.I. Jane 2 is coming up, I guess, because she has short hair. And G.I. Jane.
She was bald from what they said. She's bald because she got some kind of
alopecia. Right. Yeah. But I don't know if Chris Rock knew that. I'm not even sure he wrote the joke. Because they have like 10 writers, whatever. So Will Smith gets up and approaches Chris Rock, and everyone's laughing like, oh, he's just gonna, you know, intimidate him or say something funny. He just smacks him in the fucking face. I mean, just smacks him. And Chris Rock, to his credit, was like, he stood there and he's like, man, Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. This is the greatest Oscars ever. Like, he took it. He took it well.
Yeah.
Will Smith
sat
back down. And he goes, get my wife's fucking name out of your mouth. Keep my wife's name out of your mouth. I mean, here are my thoughts on this. It's a fucking joke. It wasn't a great joke. I don't think he meant it as the alopecia joke. I think he meant it as a short hair joke. Even if he did make it as an alopecia joke, okay, it's still a fucking joke. It was meant to induce laughter. Approach him afterwards. Be like, hey, man, I didn't really appreciate that joke. That was kind of uncalled for. Find out who wrote the joke. Getting up, smacking a guy half your size who's a comedian, and people are defending this, saying, oh, well, you know, talk shit, get hit. It's a fucking comedy show. Like, what has the whole world
gone fucking mad? He's not talking shit. He's not talking shit like these bastards do on the fucking internet, you know, who you don't know about, you know? They talk shit. He was just making a joke.
Yeah.
He's a comedian. That's his job.
To me, Will Smith looked like a huge pussy.
Yeah.
And look, and I've been hearing for years, like, I knew a girl who allegedly, I have to say allegedly, used to go to these, like, swinger parties. I think I told you this, right, McCorkle? And she would watch, like, these, well, that Jada and Will, they were some freaky shit, like, banging guys, both banging guys, getting banged in front of each other, like, they were into some weird, freaky, you know, lifestyle. Right.
I hear, he's bisexual, and they swap partners. And, you know, I mean, you can eat my, you can eat her pussy, but don't make a joke about her. You know.
You know the thing, Adam. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
I think it's important, yep, man. Like, all joking aside on that situation, like, if every time a guy who's gay pretends to, like, and has a woman, he pretends like he's banging so he'll seem straight. If every time somebody insults him, he can just go and punch him in the face. I mean, Bruce Buffer will spend the rest of his life in prison. So,
thank you, Sean. Look, I made a billion jokes of, like, you know, she left him for Pete Davidson. You know, like, he had the hit of the Oscars. There was so many jokes to be made. You know, Dylan Danis fell down. It was just one after another. Like, he pressed charges, and then I'm getting an echo. Is that on Don or you, Sean?
It's not on me.
Not me.
Oh, I'm getting an echo. I just don't understand. I mean, this whole, now all of a sudden we're allowed to go out and punch comedians and fuck that, dude. First of all,
you know what's funny? People think that I see people saying it was fake or staged. Like, that didn't look staged at all to me. I think Chris Rock thought he was going to pretend punching, so he, like, you know, moved back, and that's why maybe it looked a little fake. But Chris Rock, I mean, either that or they're the best two actors in the world, you know, or whatever, because it's, I don't know, Will Smith has been pretending, like I said, for years to be straight, so he's a hell of an actor. But I don't think it would be that awkward if it was staged. Like, that, I mean, was
his
awkward.
His wife basically told him in front of the whole world that him and this rapper had an entanglement, that she was banging some guy, and he stood there, like, sad. But then when this guy makes a joke about her having short hair, I don't think it was the alopecia joke, but even if it was, you don't go up and just smack someone in the face. That's ridiculous. And they just sat down, and no one told them to leave. Not one person said, hey, man, you have to leave. Like, it's uncalled for. I don't care if you want that. Like, how does nobody tell that guy, you have to get out of here?
Well,
I hope Chris Rock sues the Academy, you know, and for security, lack of security. I hope he sues them for $100 million, you know?
It's crazy. I mean, it was complete bullying. He's three times the size of him.
The sad part was that Chris Rock's joke wasn't even funny. Like, that's what really hurt me most, is, like, that wasn't even a good joke. So.
Yeah, I heard Brandon Schaub wrote it for him. Right. I mean, it would be... Yeah. That'd be one thing that, like, he did that to Joe Rogan. Like, if Rogan was up there and he tried fucking smacking him, or if he did that to, I don't know, who's a comic that could fight, or a host that could fight.
Brendan Schaub.
Brendan Schaub could fight. Come on.
No, I mean, he's not a comic, though.
But if there was a guy that could, but he did that to fucking Chris Rock. Like, come on, Chris Rock? Chris Rock's 115 pounds. Yeah, try that with Don Fry. See what happens. I mean,
Chris Rock will still probably blame it on white people and racism too. Like, he'll be like, the only reason it happened was racism, because he cries about it nonstop.
Don, what would you have done? Don, what would you have done if Will Smith approached you and then backhanded you?
I'd shove his hand up his ass.
Oh. Don't threaten him with a good time, Don.
I mean, Don, would you double leg him? Would you punch him back? What would you do?
Yeah, you're damn that pussy mess. You're damn right.
It's crazy.
I mean, what the hell? I mean, that's the thing. He picked somebody who's 2 feet smaller than him, you know, to defend his wife's honor, you know, what little honor she has. And, you know, so why does he pick on a real guy, a real man?
Yeah, no, I lost all respect for Will Smith. I
hear it was nothing a double A couldn't figure out. Seriously. You may not get that joke, but that's a great joke. that's an inside joke with the homeless cats.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was crazy. Now, also, a lot of fights that are going on outside the octagon. So I don't know if you heard this, Don. So Colby Covington was at a restaurant. I guess he was there with one of the Nelk boys. They have a very popular podcast. And then the guy was live tweeting what restaurant he was at. So Masvidal shows up with four guys, maybe five guys wearing masks and hoodies, and allegedly punched Colby twice in the face, knocking out one of his veneers. They did knock out his tooth, but I think it was a fake tooth he had. And then posted about it right afterwards. Hey, this is the show your face challenge, Colby Covington. Show your face, right? Look at my face, look at yours, right? Colby, the cops were called. Colby did press charges. He had to go to jail. He got bailed out $15,000. People are calling Colby Covington a bitch. Look, I am with Colby on this one. They had 25 minutes to fight. Colby won every single round.
Yeah, 25 minutes, and you couldn't pull it off, so you're waiting your cheap shot, dude, you know? That's just chicken shit all the way around.
And the thing is...
I do think, I heard that the police now have a new lead on who actually attacked Jussie Smollett, though. like, I heard they're under investigation for that, because there's a Trump supporter sucker punching a, you know, guy. So.
Right. I mean, well, the thing is that if Colby doesn't press charges, Masvidal's going to keep doing that. Masvidal is going to keep showing up everywhere he fucking shows up with five guys and punching Colby in the head.
Or anybody else that he makes mad. If Colby doesn't press charges, anyone else he pisses off will know he can just then come up free shotting, you know?
So he kind of has to do that. And the thing about Colby is, look, Colby is a great fighter, but he's an athlete first. He was a two-time All-American wrestler, Oregon. He's a tough guy and he's a great athlete. Jorge Masvidal, I believe, is a fighter first. He grew up fighting in the streets in Kimbo Slice's backyard. It's not. I don't think Colby's going around wanting to fight people on the streets. I'm sure he's gotten into plenty of scraps in his life, but he doesn't go out looking for fights. Not that Masvidal does, but it's just different. And I don't understand what Masvidal was thinking, nor like. Does he care? Because I mean, now I think the UFC might cut him. He might lose his sponsor.
He was thinking, like, yeah, this coke is good. Let's go punch somebody.
Maybe. I mean, the UFC does not look. In the last month, the UFC has had Cain Velasquez shoot somebody, right? The wrong person. I mean,
he was justified. He was justified.
Right. Justified. But it's not great press for the UFC because all you see is UFC fighter shoot somebody, right? Then you had John Jones, who was their champ, you know, getting arrested, headbutting police cars and crying. Then you have Chael Sonnen beating up six people at a hotel room. One of them was a female. I heard Chael's version of it. It's the whole thing sounds insane. I hope he doesn't get in trouble. I love Chael, but that's also
Why? What difference does it make if a female involved? One, she should get the fuck out of the way, back off. Two, with that homo swimmer, it proves there's no difference between male and female, especially when this Jackson broad can't give a definition of woman or female. And also, there's no difference in it.
All right, that is the Don Fry opinion on the podcast. That is the Don Fry opinion. But the point is that not a good look. Then Conor McGregor also got his car taken away for dangerous driving. I don't even know what that even means in Ireland. So now you have Colby Covington punching people at restaurants. This has not been a good month. PR-wise.
No, not Colby.
I mean, not Colby. I mean, you got Masvidal punching Colby. Right. Not a good look for the UFC.
I'd heard that it was Conor's car headbutted John Jones first, though. So that's why they took it away. So I don't know.
Hey, we still, compared to the NBA and the NFL, we still got a long way to go, man. Okay. Shit.
Now, Don, was it as bad back in your day, but there was just no internet?
I don't think so. I think, how would I know? There's no internet. What the hell's going on?
But, I mean, you were there. Were you there when Tito got allegedly knocked out by the guy who went to jail for the bank heist? What's his name? The greatest bank heist ever?
Lee Murray.
Lee Murray?
No, I didn't see that. Was not there. That was over in England, right?
Yeah.
Back in Don's day, when he got in a street fight, man, the telegraphs went crazy.
We didn't have streets.
Don, did you know Lee Murray?
No, never.
Okay, gotcha. I mean, it's just been a crazy month. Now
Jason Reinhardt swears he's a great guy. Never met him, but he says he was.
In case you were wondering, Al B. Shore won his boxing match in celebrity boxing, and then called out P. Diddy for $50 million. He wants to fight P. Diddy. I don't know who.
I wonder which one of those two will be expected to put the money up. Between P. Diddy and Al B. Shore, I wonder who's going to be expected to foot the bill on that fight.
Meanwhile, I did a show on a cruise ship last week, right? And, you know, I got to do the worst is I had to do 3 hours of material, right? Because I had to do two different 30-minute clean shows and then four different 30-minute dirty shows because the same crowd keeps coming back. So the clean shows, I do a joke, you know, my clean jokes aren't the best, but I go, yeah, my wife said I was living in the past, so I unfriended her on MySpace, right? That was the quick joke. So some lady goes, ha ha, right? I look over, she's in a wheelchair. Right, I'm like, great. Now I'm being heckled by someone in a wheelchair. So then I go, I said, I'm in therapy. She goes, me too. And I'm like, why? She goes, because I'm in a freaking wheelchair. What do you think? Right. So then everyone's like laughing. Right. And I was like, look, you obviously have this great sense of humor. I'm sure one day you're going to make a guy very happy or at least, you know, run him over. I once ghosted a girl in a wheelchair and I fell back because I stood her up. Right. So she's going crazy. Now she's my biggest fan. She's coming to every one of my shows, but now she wants to be part of the show. She's like, I can stand up for myself. And she's just doing wheelchair jokes. And this, it's hard to beat. Like, I don't want this to be a roast battle to me. So I had to tell her brother, like, hey, listen, I love having her at the show, but could you just tell her not to heckle? Cause like, you know, like we had our moment, but I just don't want this to be me picking on a girl in a wheelchair for 40, because it's enough, you know? So yeah, that's,
it's awesome to hear you describe breaking up with a girl in a wheelchair comedically. Like, listen, it's not her. It's me. Like, I really just am not comfortable with this. And, I don't know.
Kurt, now, by the way,
I have to walk away from this argument.
Somebody has to.
Curtis Blades. Did you watch that fight? Anybody?
I quit watching after the sixth bet in a row I lost because of bad decisions by the judges. Like, I literally, dude, those judges were out of their minds the other night.
So, Don, I'm going to tell you, Curtis Blades, he beat Chris Daukaus. And Chris Daukaus is a police officer and a tough guy. Like, I feel like he should have been in the earlier UFCs because it seems like he has one way to fight, and that's just to throw as many punches as he can, and then hopefully he knocks you out. But if you can take his punch and you punch harder, you're going to beat him, like the Black Beast. And Curtis Blades, I don't even understand this guy because he was, I think, a three-time Division II All-American wrestler, but he stands there and trades punches with a guy for the first round. No, and I'm like, this is the only way you're going to lose this fight. But he had to prove he could take a punch. His corner must have told him, knock it the fuck off after the first round. Second round, he just took him down and submitted him 3 seconds. Have you ever had a fight like that, Don or Sean, where your corner was like, what are you doing?
That was most of my fights. Like, really, between rounds, I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'd be like, I don't know. I'm tired.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I if I went to the second round, I wasn't doing well usually. So,
Don, did your corner ever tell you what follow the game plan? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, when I fought Tank, you know, and after the fight, they said, what the fuck? We told you not to go toe-and-toe with
him. Yeah, Tank Abbott. Yeah, I mean, of course, because that's the only way he would win that fight. I mean, you have the advantage everywhere. I even think you have the power advantage, but still, if he, I mean, Tank, who do you think punches harder, you or Tank Abbott?
I would think me, you know, it just depends. He would always sit. I would, you know, because for some reason I thought I had movement, you know, so I tried using my movement rather than just, he would just come out and squat, sit down and wait for you to come up to him, you know?
Yeah. He was one of my favorite fighters though. Tank Abbott was like one of the first characters of,
yeah,
he was one of the first guys that you would like, man, he was the guy that you saw at the bar that were like, oh, that guy's a tough guy. And then you'd actually see him knock out professional fighters. You're like, holy shit. But then people figured him out. They figured out this dude, which is crazy because he actually had good wrestling. He wrestled in college. He wasn't a bad wrestler. He was a Division I wrestler.
Right. Probably a bad student.
He never wrestled. He never would use his wrestling in his fights though. He would always go toe to toe. He never actually would wrestle.
Well, it worked for him.
Oh, did it work for him?
Until somebody took him down, you know?
Yeah. So also the best fight that I've seen in a long time was Brian Barberena, Matt Brown. Those guys are the two of the toughest guys I've ever seen. And I knew it was going to happen. I knew that was a great fight. I still think it could have been a draw. I don't even know if I think Barbara won that fight. It was so close. Sean, who do you think won that fight?
I thought Matt Brown easily 2-1, if not 3-0. I don't know. I mean, he got rocked the one time, but unless we're doing boxing where you get 10-8 rounds on just being rocked once, I mean, he was landing the – I mean, he looked tired, but he was winning the fight, you know? Like, he really was landing cleaner shots and was the aggressor the entire time, like backing down the entire time. So what about the fight where the one guy kept trying to point to the center of the ring and then would just run away? I don't know what fight that was, but he kept, like, telling the guy, like, come on right here, and the guy would walk forward, and then he would just run to the other side of the cage and point here. It was like, that was a great strategy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Kai Kara France, you know, in the beginning, I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was decent. Then when he beat Cody No Love, he's got a new confidence. He's because he beat that guy, Oscar Olive, who was, I think, undefeated. He's like 14-0-1. And it just goes to show you, man, you beat that one guy who everyone thinks you're going to lose to, and you're a different fighter. And so good for Kai Kara France. I was super happy, I'll tell you, for Sarah McMahon, because Sarah McMahon is one of the nicest people, coolest chicks, nice husband, just a good person. She actually one time hit me up and said, hey, are you in LA? And I was like, no, I'm in Wichita. She's like, oh, I was wondering if I could stay at your place tonight with my husband and my kid, because we're here for the Nationals. And I called my wife, and she actually went out, my wife, and bought like an air mattress for them. And she said that was like so much fun, like hanging out with them, like just wonderful people. But she's one of those people that would always be winning a fight and then just get caught. Like she'd be winning the round and get caught in some submission, always for some odd reason. And it finally didn't happen to her. And she's hot. I think, you know, also for a while, I thought she was too nice. Like she would be on top of people doing ground and pound, but she wasn't trying to really hurt the person. She was just trying to throw as many punches as she could so the ref would stop it. And then the ref wouldn't stop it because she wasn't really hurting the person. Because I think she didn't really want to hurt the person. She just wanted the ref to stop the fight. It was a crazy strategy. What's up, people? Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Now head over to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code CLNS50 to get started. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage. And it's the best in the business, okay? From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Did you ever see anyone do that, Sean?
Yeah, I know anytime I was trying not to hurt someone, I would punch him as many times as I could, as fast as I could. Not really. But I tell you, I think I told you this before, but I knew I needed to get out of fighting, like, when I started losing. But also, like, when I found myself against lesser competition and I was trying to submit them instead of knocking their teeth out. Like I'd get say mounted on him and then still work for an Americana or Kimura or something instead of just elbowing him in the face. Cause I was like, well, this guy probably has to work Monday, you know, or whatever. Like I'd start feeling bad for the guys that weren't at the higher level like that. But I found out if you do that too much, eventually somebody will knock your ass out. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's not taking it easy on you, you know, when you're taking it easy on them. But I heard Fedor say the same thing one time. He I don't remember who he was fighting. It was, I don't know, a few years back, but they asked him why he went for submission specifically in this fight. And he said there are many ways to win and, you know, beat someone's brains in, basically, which I thought was odd, but also one of the coolest things you could say. So.
Damian Maya said that, too. He goes, hey, jiu-jitsu is the kind of thing where I could beat you but not hurt you. Don, did you ever feel bad when you punched someone's, like, when you broke someone's nose or knocked their teeth out?
Nope, never did. Never did. They were a fucking athlete, and they knew what they were getting into, and they signed their name.
Got it. Now, were you ever, like, when you were fighting and you got hit, did you ever get hurt in the moment, or was it always after the fight that you, like, felt the pain?
I get hurt in the moment sometimes, yeah.
Who hurt you?
Huh?
Who hurt you the most?
Who
inflicted the most pain on you?
His ex-wife.
Oh. Yeah, goddamn, no kid. Her attorney, fuck. Jeez. Let's see. Well, Tank did, Coleman did, you know. I remember when I fought the judo, Japanese judo guy, I can't think of the name right now, and he was dislocating my elbow. You know, I'd popped a couple of pills before the fight. I have no idea why. And so, you know, he got me in an arm bar, and he starts stretching it, and I hear, and I go, wow, man, he's breaking my arm, dude. Pop, you know?
I think that was Yoshida, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it? Okay.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was him. Because I asked Don about that first time I ever met Don. I said, Don, I've always wanted to ask you, like, what were you thinking when that guy had you in an arm bar and you went and tap? And he said, buddy, I was so high that night, I probably wasn't thinking. I was like, this dude is my hero.
Now, so. But like, but what about when Ken Shamrock put you in an ankle lock? I mean, how much did your ankle hurt?
I did hurt. It hurt worse after the fight in the next few days, you know, until I got out of Hawaii. I got lucky, stopped off in Hawaii. I got off the airplane and I had cankles, you know. You know how your calves, those women with those real ugly legs, you know, like Hillary Clinton, they got cankles, you know, their ankles are as fat as their calves, you know, and there's no difference in them, you know.
And, yeah, it's dope, man. You guys made me feel like the biggest pussy. I was telling my kid, like, when I was a junior wrestling at the New England's, my ankle was just, you know how it just swells up like a ball, like, you know, like your ankle's just a ball. And the athletic director was like, he's like, you're not wrestling. And I'm like, no, I'm the number one seed. I have to wrestle. He goes, all right, I'm going to take your foot and go like this back and forth. And if I see any pain in your eye, you're not wrestling. And he went like that. And I was in so much pain, but I was like, no, you know, so I wrestled and I won. But that's fucking nothing compared to what the fuck you guys are talking about. I'm telling my kid this, like, I'm like, so I'm like, you know, and I'm like, holy shit, man.
You should try sometime, Adam, try lying to the doctor and saying your shoulder's not dislocated when it is and fighting for three rounds with your shoulder out. That was a lot of fun. But
wait, what happened?
I fought I think it was my fifth or sixth fight. I was fighting this dude named Tiny Norton who sucks, like real bad. Like I didn't like him. And he was like something like, 10-1 or something, but he was like 400 pounds, but with good cardio, it was the craziest thing ever. So he had beat he had just beat local guys, but the first 10 seconds of fight, I throw a punch, it skims off the top of his head, dislocates my own shoulder and breaks my arm up high. So I fracture my arm and my shoulder comes out of socket and it's just hanging there. And so I looked at him, I looked at my shoulder.
Wait, that was from you throwing a punch?
I dislocated my own, yeah, because when your shoulder dislocates, if it's going forward and up, that's when it can dislocate, like on your own. So it hit the top of his head and went up, and I actually literally threw my own shoulder completely out of socket. And it also, later on, I'd find out I had like a Hill Sachs fracture which is like a dent in the bone that hit my clavicle or something. I don't know. So I backed up and looked at my arm hanging down about 4 inches lower than it normally does and looked at him. And I was like, I'm not tapping to this dude. Like, cause I just couldn't stand the thought of his dumbass celebrating. So I fought literally 3 rounds with it dislocated out, like just hanging there. I could only use my left hand.
Did you wing it?
I tried to wing it, but it was like literally like flopping around. Like it was ridiculous. So
this is your left hand.
No, it was my right hand. So I only had my left hand to fight with. And I'm I'm not a southpaw. So I fought with just my left hand. I still beat him by decision, by basically just like taking him down with one arm and then just throwing left-handed punches. But on the video, I pass out 4 or 5 separate times in the fight on top. Like I'm on top of him and all of a sudden you just see me go out. And I come back to and start throwing punches again. And everybody just said, I look like I was real tired and out of shape. Like that's what happened. I was like, yeah, no, I was tired and out of shape, but that's not what was happening. I wasn't passing out from being tired. But to this day, he claims he won the fight.
Like, could you rear naked and choke them with your arm?
No, like, no, I couldn't do when your shoulder dislocated like that. I guess I was real incoherent during rounds. Like my cornerman said, he didn't know it was dislocated. He said, I just kept saying my arm, like, or whatever. Like that's, I don't know what I was saying between rounds. And so, yeah, I fought and ended up winning by decision, passed out after the fight, just passed out and then went straight to the ER. And they were like, your shoulder is completely dislocated. And they told me that I guess it could have suffered an artery, you know, being out like that. So I could have died. But I had 16 months of physical therapy after that, my shoulder's still not right to this day. But I did win, though. That's how prideful I was. That's pride is normally the worst, one of the worst character flaws you can have. But it's great in fighting. Like if you're real prideful, because I couldn't stand the thought of his fat ass. He looked like a very slow Stone Cold Steve Austin if he would gain 200 pounds. Like, and I knew he would be celebrating and loving it if he beat me. So I just kept fighting with it out and end up winning. And it was a dumb move, but it still didn't hurt as bad as when I got poked in my eye, man, in Japan. Getting poked, I'll tell you what, that's something that that adrenaline does not mask at all, is when you get eye poked real bad. Like that hurts just as bad in a fight as it does when you're not in a fight. So,
I mean, I don't understand, Don, when Gilbert Iville not only poked your eye, but basically scraped your eyeball out. How did you not, I mean, were you on pills? How did that not just kill you?
No, I was clean that fight thing. I had, tore my adductor and strained my groin, you know, and that's why they were wrapped up, you know, and they shot up with Novocaine. They were pulled and just a little. I didn't pull it until in the fight, you know, like the first takedown. I went, you know, because they were strained, and then I pulled them. You know, boom, and my corner man said he heard it explode, you know, and then he went after my eyes, and I was like, God dang, you know, I can't win for losing here, man. I was like, well, the other two guys from the U.S. lost, and I said, fuck that, I'm not losing, you know.
Now, was there ever a thought that, like, maybe you should just poke his eye back?
No, I headbutted him a couple times. He completed the referee, you know?
That's still, Adam, to this day, it's one of my biggest regrets, is that I got kneed in the balls several times in fights or poked. To this day, I regret not just kneeing him right back in the balls. Like the first, after they gave me time to recover, come out, I wish I would just kick them square in the balls so we'd be even, because that is, that John Jones strategy is the best, man. You're not the same after getting poked. Or need the balls. You're not the same fighter you were. And guys get away with that shit and end up winning. It's ridiculous.
My biggest regret was I was on a cruise ship in like 2014. And I had a crazy half Filipino girlfriend. I think you met her, Sean. And she was a straight alcoholic. Well, when she was sober, she was amazing. She was drunk. She would like literally be like, if you break up with me, I'm going to get naked and run in the middle of the street. I mean, it was just like the craziest shit you've ever heard. And but
I bet she was a horrific drunk driver.
No, dude. One time I get a phone call from her. I got drugged last night. I got drugged. How'd you get? We weren't even together anymore. Someone spiked my weed. I'm like, okay. So I go to pick her up in Long Beach in the hospital. I go, did you drink? Were you drinking? She's like, no, I wasn't drinking. The doctor comes over, goes, give your pills. This will cure your hangover. Like on point. I'm like, dude, this is. But my biggest regret was I was on a cruise ship and there was like five different female Asian bachelorette parties, all from Rochester, New York. And they were all like merged. And I was dancing with them after the show. And they were like, if you come back to our room, we will fuck you. Like three of them at the same time. And I did. And I didn't because I was faithful to my girlfriend. That's what.
By the way, did you get the joke that she was Asian, therefore a bad drunk driver? That's what I was going for with that.
I was still mad about the fact that I was saying, you know, look, this is my philosophy, man. If my marriage doesn't work, I don't want it to not work because I cheated or something. I want it to not work because I gave it my best shot and it didn't work. You know what I'm saying? If my comedy doesn't work, I don't want it to be because I fucked up and you know, oh, I could have been the guy. I want to at least give myself a chance to succeed. You know, if you don't do that, that's what I tell the kids I coach. I go, you're not even giving yourself a chance to win by you don't eat right. You don't do this. You don't work out. How are you ever going to win? You're coming into it 60%. Like life is hard enough when you have 100%. When you have 50%, you're fucked.
Man, that reminded me of a story you told. Like one time I did meet these girls at a bachelorette party or whatever. And they told me if I came back with them, they'd fuck me. And so I went back there and then they gave me Brennan Schaub comedy. But you guys got me.
Show your bunny and showed you out in the hallway naked.
Dude, bachelorette parties are crazy, dude. Like, because the thing is, when you have bachelor parties, like, it's like 10 guys and there's a girl. There's always some idiot. It's like, you know, I remember one time I was at a bachelor party. And it was disgusting. These guys were putting condoms on their feet and the girls were fucking their feet. It was like the grossest thing I've ever seen. It was in New York. But it was beyond gross. But there's always like a bachelor party where like, the bachelor gets in the middle and the girl gets him naked and then someone's like, don't do it, you're getting married, and then he either does it or doesn't. But it's just so, I don't like it. I didn't even have a bachelor party. Bachelorette parties assume the guy likes it and they just go for the fucking, they just get the girl, the guy's naked, like they just go crazy. They just go crazy. And that happened to me, and it was a good time. All right, so Alexa, by the way, so Wood, Joanne Calderwood, and Alexa Grasso. I feel bad for Joanne Calderwood, or Joanne Wood now. She's just, she was.
Ever since she lost her Calder, you felt bad for her?
I love this chick. She's so sweet. I like her husband, but she's just not been fighting to her potential. I heard she fucks up everyone in the gym. I heard in the gym, she's a monster, but she just can't put it together during the fights, which sucks because did you watch that Chris Gutierrez fight against that guy, Dana? There was a guy, he won by spinning back fist.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, he fought this guy from Mongolia, right? And I've been to Mongolia. I had a great time in Mongolia. I was the second American comic ever before in Mongolia. And by the way, best looking woman ever from Mongolia. And wrestling is their natural, is their sport. But they
said, you were going to say natural habitat. You almost said wrestling was their natural habitat.
It's crazy, Mongolia. First of all, half the country lives in like Ertz and they watch Mongolian Idol. They have TV. That's like their big thing. But I guess a lot of them don't do well in like the civilized part because they just run through red lights and they don't deal with like traffic stops. They just, it's like the good old days. Right. But funny Mongolians. So I'm at the park with my kid one time and these three Mongolian guys are walking and they have huge cauliflower ear. And I thought one of them was Sakuraba because he looked like Sakuraba. And I was like, dude, is that Sakuraba? And he's like, no, but we're wrestlers. He goes, and I had a wrestling coach t-shirt. He goes, oh, you coach wrestling? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, like, can we join your team? These guys were like in their 30s, right? I'm like, I coach middle school kids. I can't, like, I don't know who the fuck you guys are. He goes, one guy was like, I was 3-time world champion. The other guy was like a 6-time world champion. One guy was like a 4-time. I was like, I coached 11-year-olds. I don't see this going very well.
One guy was a 2-time Mongolia Idol champion.
Yeah. So, but I'm like, but I'll get you guys a practice. So I call Kenny Johnson. You know Kenny Johnson? He's a really good coach. He runs Black House MMA.
Right. Yeah.
He wrestled for Iowa under Dan Gable. Very underrated coach, right? So I send him over. So Alan Juban tells me, he doesn't tell him that like they've been invaded by the Mongolians, like their practice. So they go to the pro practice, right? And Alan told me right away, like one of his guys locks up with the dude. They don't know these guys. And the guy just like fucking judo tosses, like throws the guy like 30 feet in the air. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. These guys. All right. So now they're all just sagging on him. Right. So they went had a good practice. But at the end, Kenny Johnson makes the team do 1,000 sprawls to end practice. 1,000. And then by like these guys are pretty, they were pretty out of shape. I think they got to about 150. And then they were like, what the fuck? But that's a lot of sprawls.
They were so out of shape, they can only do 150 sprawls after a 3-hour wrestling practice. That's what I call out of shape.
I mean, 1,000. I mean, Don, have you ever done 1,000 sprawls?
I haven't done 1,000 anything, man. I have to tell Kenny Johnson to be out of his mind.
Sean, have you ever done 1,000 sprawls?
I bet if you counted all my sprawls in my entire life, it's under. Like, I don't think. I didn't do much sprawling. So.
But how does anyone on their team get taken down ever? If you're finishing practice with 1,000 sprawls? 1,000? I mean, look, I make my kids do 100 sprawls one time. I go, all right, you fuck around one time. And then by like 80, they're like, ugh. I couldn't imagine doing 1,000 sprawls. That's a lot of sprawls. But anyway, he won by a spinning back fist. Neil Magny. He beat Griffin. That was a close fight. Neil Magny's one of those guys that if you don't get him out in the first, his cardio gets better throughout the fight. How does that work, Sean?
Man, I don't know. My cardio always sucked, but I did notice somebody told me this, and I should have done it a long time ago. It was actually a strength conditioning guy. He was saying burn off, like get to your second win before the fight starts. You know what I mean? So burn off that initial energy. And I did always notice when I played sports in college, like played basketball or when I was training, it seemed like an hour into practice, I felt better than when I first started, you know, but timing, that's a bitch, man. Like, especially when you're in the back room at the UFC and you got Burt Watson screaming at the top of his lungs every 5 minutes, like, you ready to roll? It's time. Oh, wait, not yet. Commercial break. You ready? Like back and forth. But some guys, man, I don't know. I think cardio a lot has to do with either genetics, man, or maybe I'm just making excuses. But genetics or staying calm. Cause I don't know, man. I could go all day in the gym. I could go 5 minutes in a fight. So,
I mean, Don, you never got tired of a fight.
At the end, yeah, towards the end of my career when I didn't give a shit anymore. Yeah, I got tired.
Yeah. We never talked about, cause I was away last week. Did you watch the UFC England?
No.
Did you watch it, Sean?
I did not. I was blown away, though, to find out that Paddy the Batty guy got 12-12 to fight, 12,000 fight, 12,000 to win on a show that did a $5 million live gate and like the highest rated fight night ever. People are like, hey, man, that's, you know, like the UFC's not improving. I'm like, well, they improved a little bit. I got $10,000 for being the co-main event at UFC 124, which sold 1 million pay-per-views. So, yeah, I got $10,000 for doing that. So it's gone up $2,000 anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. Paddy the Batty, by the way, I'm still not sold on him because he did get kind of rocked and came back and won. But I guess that's his, you know, he's really good at jiu-jitsu. He's a fun fighter to watch. He is a star. He's got the star power. I want to see him get really tested, like, you know, but I don't know if they're going to. They got a star on their hand. So it's like, I feel like they're going to give him guys that are favorable to him for a while because he has that. Yeah. He has that thing.
Well, you know what they say? It's hard to get up and run in the morning when you're sleeping in a homeless guy's sheets, because at 12-12, you don't have to worry about money running him anytime soon. That's it to me, man. That is, People always talk about Dana White's greed. I don't think it's Dana White at all, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I always thought that for Dana was always super generous, like, with me, with anything, you know, like, any situation. Like, if he takes people out to dinner, he tips 10,000 bucks. But I think the Fertittas were really greedy, and I think the new guys that own it are even greedier than the Fertittas thought about being. Did you hear that story Dana told about how they thought they were cutting his office down to, like, 80% by 80%? Like, they literally came in, and Dana, they were doing the, you know, the whatever, the little –
the Apex?
Where all the athletes go. I can't remember in Las Vegas, all the training Apex. Center or whatever.
Yeah,
the Apex. And they came in and told Dana White, I guess the new owners came in and said, hey, we're going to scale back your office and just have like a little, you know, whatever, 10 by 12 office for you because we paid so much for the company. And Dana was like, he told him that was fine. He'd go ahead and just leave the company then. They could just, you know, find somebody else to run it. And so he not only did that, but he made his office twice as big. As what they were planning on, you know, or whatever. But I thought that was funny that a guy like that, that you're going to come in and tell a guy who's hanging around, who's now got $300 or $400 million, like, oh, we're going to cut your office down in size because God forbid we buy three extra sheets of drywall, you know?
I also heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that, like, when the whole thing with Rogan recently was going down, that they were trying to get Rogan off the telecast, and he was like, not a chance. Like,
good.
You know, not
well,
you know,
so, if you got Dana. Dana's fucking loyal. You know, if he's in your corner, he's in your corner. You know, I mean, he's a fucking loyal guy. You know,
people ask me all the time if Dana White's a dick, man. I say all the time, he was always really nice to me. Just don't get on his bad side. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, just don't get on his bad side. But he was always Dana. I think I told you what he did for Bubba McDaniel, you know, when his little kid got murdered. And I know of other things. He got me in to go see that doctor in Germany. They didn't have any availability for like 9 or 10 months. And then Dana called and said, just tell him that I sent you, you know, because I guess he had sent a lot of fires there or whatever. So I called back and all of a sudden they could get me in the next Tuesday, you know. So like he didn't have to do that for me, you know, make that call and stuff. So,
this guy, I'll talk a little bit about the UFC. This guy, Tom Aspinalli, he's the real deal. He submitted Volkov first round. Which nobody has done. So they had the England has a heavyweight, a really good one. So I'm excited about him. And this girl, Meatball Molly, which is one of the funniest things. She goes for like a spinning back elbow earlier in the fight. It almost looked comical. It almost looked like, remember when like Chael tried it against some, who was it? Against John Jones. It was like, what are you doing? Right.
The worst spinning elbow of all time.
Well, then she does it in the third round and knocks the girl out cold with it. Like she went from it looking like the worst spinning elbow to the, and she wins. She jumps out of the octagon, grabs the belt. I guess they had a fake belt. I don't know why they had a belt there, and just starts running around with the belt. Like going ballistic, and good for her, man. So I've had her on the show before. Paul Craig, by the way, who goes by the Bear Jew. This dude has the fastest triangle I've ever seen. Like he put this on. Like he should teach a course on. I've never seen a faster triangle slapped on. But yeah, good. I mean, crazy. So all right, this week. A couple fights this week. Well, a big fight this week. A big pay-per-view. First, Mickey Gall said he would beat Bruce Lee in Bruce Lee's prime. Don, what do you think?
Who the fuck is Mickey Gall?
Mickey Gall is the fighter that beat CM Punk. He lost to Diego Sanchez. He's beaten some good guys. He beat Sage Northcutt. He lost to Mike Perry.
He lost to Diego Sanchez and Mike Perry, but thinks he could beat Bruce Lee.
Yes.
Like that is a fucking idiot.
I think it all depends on who was writing the script.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Who's the Don, have you ever met Bruce Lee, Don?
No, I was not old enough there, but I met
Don used to babysit Bruce Lee.
Did you meet Chuck Norris?
Yeah, I met Chuck Norris. You know, just brief, just shook hands. We had a UFC fight as well. You know, we both watched the fight. But I met Dan DeSanto. Dan DeSanto, you know, Bruce Lee's sparring partner and training partner. And he's a great guy. Janice Huntsman's a great guy. Fucking amazing.
All right, so
dude, I'll tell you what, man. When Don, yeah. I cannot imagine what could have possibly happened to this planet when Don Fry shook hands with Chuck Norris. Like, dude, that could have thrown off our whole equilibrium and everything. There was so much manliness at that moment. There's no telling what kind of damage could have been done.
So, let's say in a bizarro world, right? UFC 1, it's Bruce Lee, Don Fry, Chuck Norris, Steven Seagal.
Was he there for a regard girl?
All right. So who wins that? I say Don Fry wins that one, right? Easily. And then what about Judo G LaBelle? He's also in that contest.
That would be a tougher fight. You know, I would hope that he got hurt. That hurt him. You know, if he didn't beat him, he hurt him. So, you know, it strengthened my odds to beat Judo G, you know.
So Judo G would be your toughest fight, then Bruce Lee, then Chuck Norris, then Steven Seagal?
Yeah, you know, it's a toss-up between Chuck and Bruce, you know. That would be a coin flip, you know.
I'll tell you who's not beating Steven Seagal is Gilbert Ivel, because as soon as you try to poke him in the eyes, he'd have those yellow shooting sunglasses he wears everywhere and would be completely ineffective.
I heard Steven Seagal used to try to hurt his training partners, like his stunt doubles. I think Josh Barnett told me that he was like, if he tries anything on me, I'm going to fucking kill him. Like, and then that was like, that's pretty much how that went down. Josh Barnett is one of the scariest human beings I've ever, like, I spent 3 hours in a car with Josh Barnett, and he's one of the nicest people. Josh Barnett will do anything for you, but his eyes.
Yeah, he's great.
His eyes are dead. Like, if there was a real life Dexter, it would be Josh Barnett. I could see him killing people like that deserve to be killed. Like, he's fucking psychotic. Am I right?
Don, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You look in the eyes, the windows to the soul, you know, and the lights aren't even home. I mean, nobody's home because the lights aren't even on, you know? Sure.
Yeah, he's one dude, like, he wouldn't just like kill you. He would like take turns. Like, there's something like really evil about that guy. And not only
he would dismember you. He would dismember you to tiny pieces and drive around the country throwing, you know, little bits and pieces of you out the window, you know.
But I sat next to you, Barnett, and you and Barnett at that Bellator event when Tito beat Chael, and both of you guys said that was a fix.
What now?
I sat next to you at that Bellator event when Tito Ortiz beat Chael Sonnen. Remember? And you and Barnett both said that fight was fixed. That Chael threw it.
Where was this at?
It was in Los Angeles at the Forum.
What year?
What year? About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
It was longer. 2 years ago. COVID was 2 years ago.
5 years ago. I don't even know. It was a while ago. I don't know.
You know, many years ago, Adam, before I was in the UFC or anything, I had like two or three wins. And as a joke, I put on the underground that Josh Barnett was turning down fights with me because he was afraid of me. And then I see on the underground, somebody texts me or whatever, call me, email me. Something's like, dude, you got to get on the underground right now. Josh Barnett in his seventh post after 15 years of being a member, seventh all time, like he only posted seven times, was like, I don't know what your problem is or why you think I'm calling you out, but I haven't turned down anything. And I was like, he was verified. So it was like the real, like Josh Barnett, which was the funniest. I get killed me. I was like, man, I am such a good troll that at 3-0, I could get Josh Barnett to respond to a call out that never happened. You know, like,
Josh is a great guy, but he's one dude that I'm like, that's a guy that I would never want after me. Like, that's a dude that, like, if he was like, hey, I want to kill Adam, I'd probably move.
Josh is a big old boy too.
He's crazy. He's insane. All right. So this week, Volkanovski is fighting the Korean Zombie. This fight is one of those fights where I think Volkanovski is going to win so fucking pretty easily that I'm wondering if everyone's overlooking the zombie, including Volkanovski, and the zombie's going to win. Is this like, is this one of those fights where everyone's going, oh, this is going to be an easy fight for Volkanovski? And then that's it, like, that happens to me all the time. Like,
dude, that's a real thing. That does happen a lot. I know I've seen that happen repeatedly where you take it. I don't know if it's the fight or what it is, but where you don't even watch because you think it's going to be just a joke. And then like when what's his name just recently beat the guy for the light heavyweight title, Glover Teixeira. I thought he had no chance, like none, you know, like, and comes out and kicks his ass.
Well, Juliana Pena, I remember telling my wife, I thought you would win, but I told my wife, I think Juliana is the only person that believes she could win this fight. And my wife's like, well, that's all that really matters, right? I'm like, yeah. And she not only she won, but like, she out-toughed everything there. Is this going to happen with the zombie? It just seems like this has the perfect storm because Volkanovski's also had some close fights. Like, I thought he lost both the Holloway fights. So I don't know, man. This part of me that, like, as a gambler, which I'm not, but I would say, you know what? Throw 50 on the zombie because now the fight everyone's looking forward to is Chimaev and Gilbert Burns, because Gilbert Burns is a monster, a black belt, a tough guy. He beat Wonder Boy, but it just keeps, the legend keeps growing about this guy Chimaev. He's beating everybody up. He's destroying Darren Till. He's, you know, he was from Dagestan, I believe, but then he won the wrestling title in Sweden for 7 years. His striking is good. We saw him knock out Gerald Meerschaert quickly. He's never lost a minute of a round. He's never lost a second of a round in the UFC. There hasn't been 1 second where he's lost the fight. But Gilbert Burns has been in there with everybody. And he's been knocked out, yes, by Dan Hooker. But that was when I think he was, like, cutting down or something. Or I think that was, you know, I think that was what was at 55. Maybe he was dehydrated. I don't know why. Call me fucking nuts. But I think Burns is going to pull off this upset. Don Fry, what do you think?
Don't know who we're talking about, partner. Sorry.
So, okay. There's this guy, Chimaev, who is undefeated, who he got COVID and then retired for some reason. And then I think, like, the prime minister of Chechnya, is that where he's from? Or where's he from? Basically.
I don't think the guy's exactly the prime minister. I think he's more like the warlord.
Yeah, the warlord basically told him you're not allowed to retire anymore.
Like, right. No.
And now he unretired. And he's just been killing everybody. I mean, this dude has just been annihilating people quickly. He seems to be the perfect. He's like Khabib 3.0, they're calling him. But he's fighting Gilbert Burns, who's a black belt, who's been in there maybe a little past his prime. But Burns beat Tyron Woodley. He beat Wonder Boy. He's beaten a lot of guys. Sean, what do you think?
I think, man, this will be the really where we'll get a really good idea exactly how good Chimaev is, man, because Burns is no – I mean, he's better than a gatekeeper, but he's no joke, you know. Like, so if he comes and – plows to him, because I think I don't even know that Chimaev's still yet been hit, right? Or only been hit like two times and four UFC fights or something like that. Like, he's just went through everybody. So it'll be really really interesting to see. But if he goes and walks through him, I don't see any way he doesn't fight out of Adesanya next, man. Like, I think if he does the Burns what he's been doing to everybody else, I think that's the fight to make.
Who are you putting money on?
I'll tell you what, I'd have to see what the odds are, but I bet Chimaev is a real heavy favorite, so I'll probably bet against him, which means he'll win. So
good. That was why I based my bet on who you're going with. So,
dude, you can make a living betting opposite of me. Swear to God, you can make a living betting opposite of me. Like, that's how ridiculous it is.
Aljamain Sterling. Obviously, Don Fry was very upset about the last fight. I think you were there. Remember, he was like losing the fight. And then he got kneed, and he said he couldn't continue. He said he was concussed, but then he went to the after party afterwards with the belt.
I heard he got an award last night too for that performance. So.
He's the rematch against Peter Yan. Now, Aljamain, that was the worst version of Aljamain Sterling I've ever seen. I think that
the acting was good.
The acting was good. I mean, I think that Aljamain's got a big advantage here because he can look and see everything he did wrong. I mean, he and still have the belt.
And remembers every bit of it because he wasn't hurt in any way by that knee.
People are going to fucking call me crazy. I'm completely biased. Aljamain's my friend. He's doing the next UFC comedy jam. He helped coach my wrestling team, as did you, Sean. So I'm picking Aljamain. We hung out. We went to strip clubs together. He's my buddy. Sean, who are you picking?
Man, I think Jan is just too much better than him to lose. I think Jan's kind of like on a different planet from almost everybody else in that weight class. So his boxing's amazing, man. He's a really, really good boxer and just a ballsy guy. And if he can just remember not to knee people while they're down, that would greatly improve his chances. But yeah, there's certain people, man. Sometimes when you see a guy fight for the first time, I remember when I saw I remember it so well. I can't remember his name. Brian, what's his name?
Ryan?
No, Brian
Ortega.
Ortega. The first time I saw him fight was against Clay Guida. And granted, it's not hard to look great against Clay Guida, but I remember seeing him, and it was one of his first fights at UFC. I was like, man, that kid just has it. And the first time I saw Peter Yan fight, I was like, that's a future world champion, man. Like, and I don't even remember who it was. It was one of his first UFC fights, but it sometimes, I mean, you can't see that with everybody, but some guys you can see that with. I think Yan is just head and shoulders better.
Don, what do you think?
I'm going with Yan, even though Tony just ruined it, you know, for a lot of people. But,
yeah.
He'll get it right for once in his life, you know, first time here. And, yeah, I'm going with Yan. All you got to do is make sure everything he does is clearly seen, you know. So there's no question and no crying.
Tisha Torres, by the way, who I love, Tisha Torres. She dates Raquel Pennington. I knew her when she was dating a dude before she became or was a lesbian. She's super cool, ripped bodybuilder. She's tan.
Is that you, Sean?
What?
Turner gay, right?
Sean McCorkle turned her gay.
Yeah.
She's fighting Mackenzie Dern, whose father was like this jiu-jitsu prodigy. Everybody hated her for some reason because they said she faked the Brazilian accent. I guess she grew up in Arizona, but speaks with a Brazilian accent, and people got mad at her because of it. I mean, out of all the things to get mad at people, it's a little strange. And she kept missing weight, too. She had a baby, really cute baby. Hot, very hot. Her husband's a cool surfer guy, laid back dude, pro surfer. Tisha's like, they call it the tornado. I met her mom. Her mom has a tattoo on her neck. So I got to go with Tisha based on.
Naturally.
What's a tattoo on her neck got to do with anything?
based on that.
I think Adam's picking his fights when I pick my bets on fights now. Like, well, she does have a neck tattoo, so.
Mom does. She's my friend. Yeah. She's got better striking than Dern, and I don't think she's dumb enough to go to the ground. On the ground, Dern is a monster. Dern submitted Gabby Garcia. If you don't know who Gabby Garcia is, she's like
my size,
170 pound, just gigantic jiu-jitsu, like just massive, strong woman who has an OnlyFans, by the way. A lot of guys are into that. A lot of guys, not me, but like to each their own.
I heard Buffer is on her OnlyFans all the time because he's a little confused.
But a lot of guys like these big, strong women with, you know, big labias. But I don't know. That hasn't really been my thing. So I don't know if she's going to go to the ground. Have you ever had a bodybuilder chick, Sean?
No, man, I always, any girls that I date, I always liked really feminine girls, man. Like, I don't, there's just something about a girl having a dick that doesn't really do it for me, you know? So, like, it's, yeah, I don't know. We did have, I think I told you I had a 5-foot-tall Vietnamese pedophile that lived with us when we were kids, right?
Gabby does not have a dick, by the way.
No, I wouldn't say she was. Saying, like, women that are masculine, but, yeah, we had a 5-foot-tall Vietnamese. It's a long story, but my parents basically, anybody who cried Jesus, my parents would let them live with us, you know what I mean, like to try to help them out. So there was this guy in prison that was a friend of a friend, and he needed a place to live when he got out of prison. So my mom and dad let him move in with us. He's this little 5-foot-tall Vietnamese guy that had been, he told us that he was 22 and he had sex with a 17-year-old and got arrested. Turns out she was like 11 and he was 36. But all that to say, he had pictures of real muscle bound women taped up all over his wall in our basement where he was living in his room. And it always really confused me because I was like, okay, so he either likes little girls or big masculine men looking women. I don't know how we got on this topic, but anyway, I never, as a kid, got that. Like, I didn't understand like what, so like, if you're like, I don't know, guys that like real masculine women, does that mean they're gay? Like, I'm just confused. So
I always noticed that, like, you ever notice like that a lot of bodybuilder guys, like they just like, just whatever the guys that were just jacked, they always had like kind of average looking women, but like they have the, these guys are like the massive guys and they're like, dude, you don't have to work out that hard to get her.
Right. I think it has something to do with their massive insecurity. Like they probably can't have a girl that's good looking because they're so insecure. When I beat up that guy, I think I told you a story. I might beat up a guy in my only street fight in a long, long time. But I asked him later on and we became friends. And I was like, dude, what were you thinking that night when you started a fight with me outside this club in Indianapolis? He goes, man, you know how like big bodybuilding dudes are always like pussies and real insecure? And I was like, I guess so. He goes, I thought you were one of those guys. So I thought I was going to like make you look like a bitch in front of everybody. And so I didn't know whether to be more offended that he thought he could make me look like a bitch or that I look like an insecure bodybuilder guy.
Did you watch the Thor fight? The guy that was a
boxer? No, I saw clips, but I didn't see the whole thing. Like I didn't see the.
And then finally, the other big fight on this card is Kelvin Gastelum, who's fighting this guy who's a monster. This guy beat Ian Heinisch. He knocked out Ian Heinisch. That's the guy that was smuggling cocaine up balloons up his ass from Colombia.
And then, Adam's always got the real insider info that would have helped me on my bets. Like, this guy smuggles cocaine up his ass. Like, well, better than Bruce Buffer smuggling those cocks into the country up his ass.
But Gastelum is trading over at Fight Ready now with John Jones and Henry Cejudo and the Pitbull brothers in Arizona. And I think that's a good camp for him. Because I heard Gastelum would always show up late. He would like leave early. Like women off the street that were just taking like cardio classes would like beat him up. Like, I heard he wasn't taking it very seriously. So when you train with John Jones and those guys, I think that's a different.
If there's anything we know about John Jones, it's that he takes his career very seriously. that's the one thing we know about John Jones.
Anyway, hey, Don, did you change the name of your podcast to Double D's?
Oh no, that's we do Double D's in Your Face for question and answer.
All right. Well, listen, make sure you guys check out Don's podcast called Toxic Masculinity. And then I will be Double D's in Your Face.
Bruce Buffer calls a good weekend Double D's in Your Face.
I will be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach this Friday night. If you want to come see me, go to adamhuntercomedy.com. Anything coming up, Sean?
No, I just want to clarify that I didn't mean double D breast at his face. I meant two dicks.
I'm pretty sure everyone knew what you meant, but thank you. You guys are the best. And guys, hold on one sec, by the way, guys, because I want to talk to you guys for one second. But that is our show.